Hello, I'm North Belfast comedian Perry McHugh, and I have spent years taking the piss out of people who have podcasts, but I've finally been convinced that I'm going to have to start one myself. So join me, the most reluctant podcaster on the internet, as I invite you into my home every week and just ramble about whatever's going on in what I'm calling Perry McHugh, talking round the house. Hello, welcome to another Talking Round the House. If you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe. If you want to leave a review, leave a review. If you've listened to the other three, thank you very, very much for listening. If this is the first one you're listening to, welcome along. And it's Tuesday. I'm recording this a couple of days early because I'm pretty busy this week. Thursday, of course, is voting day. We all got to run out and vote in the Northern Irish Assembly election. It's basically... It's Northern Ireland, it's a sectarian head count. And the latest poll shows that Sinn Féin, who are like the Republican crowd, if you don't know, if you're listening to this outside of Northern Ireland, they're going to come out top of the poll. And the latest opinion poll shows that the Alliance Party are going to have the same amount of votes as the DUP, who are the big sort of unionist loyalist party. And everyone's like, oh, look at that. Because the Alliance are like, you know, they sit, they don't sit in the fence. They're in the middle of the road, right? They're for everybody. And the thing is, putting that opinion poll out, all that's going to do now is people who were like, oh, might not bother, will now just rush out and go, oh, I have to vote for the DUP because we don't want to, you know, be the not the second big. I mean, they're kicking off, they might be the second biggest party anyway. Because they don't want to be deputy first minister to Sinn Féin first minister. You know, they mightn't even go into government. The whole thing might be an absolute nightmare. So that comes out and goes, oh, the DUP have lost ground. Alliance has gained ground in them. And you'll have people who will just go out and they will simply vote for the DUP because it's like, oh, we'll have to be the second biggest party. And on the other hand, you're going to have people looking at that and going, oh, right, well, I wasn't going to bother voting there. I was going to vote for them. But no, I'm voting for Sinn Féin now because I want them to win me even more. And that's what our elections are. They basically come down to sectarian headcount. You know, like, there's unionist parties don't want a Fenian about the place, and there's unionist parties, you know, they're like, oh, we're not... Your Republican Party, the whole thing is just fucked. I don't even know why I started talking about it, because it would depress you. I mean, our politicians have, the last assembly, I think it's 5 years, they've spent over 3 years not in doing the job, but still getting paid. And, you know, then we're all going to go out and we're going to vote for the same crowd all over again. And then when there's a whole fucking row and the whole thing's not working, everyone will be looking going, I don't understand. You know, they say you get the politicians you deserve, and in this country, the way we vote, we can do. So that's Thursday. Thursday's vote day, and then I'm out on Thursday evening, and then I'm going to London on Friday. Going to see a mate of mine that I haven't seen in ages. He got married in September. It's my mate Paddy, right? Now, I love him. He's brilliant. He's one of my best mates. He was in my groom's party at my wedding and all the rest. Didn't chirp up and go, here, mate, you can still back out. But he's like, no one else I know. Well, maybe everybody, I think, has that friend who you go out to dinner with and you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ, just eat your food and shut up. You know, when the person comes over and goes, is everything okay? 99.9% of people go, oh, that's all perfect, brilliant, thank you. Doesn't matter if there's something wrong. You'll go, oh, it's dead on. Not Paddy. Oh, Jesus Christ. I was out with him one time and we were in the Hard Rock Cafe in Belfast, right? So, you know, this wasn't fine dining we were doing. It was a theme restaurant in Belfast, right? Now, you go in the Hard Rock. I've been all over the world doing yo-yos, and strangely, one of the things I always done was I'd go to the local Hard Rock, buy a pin. You know, I'm into my rock music. Every country I went to the Hard Rock, there was rock music on. You know, there was guitars in the wall. There was like, oh, here's Slash's hat. Here's, you know, your man from AC/DC's guitar. Here's, you know, proper rock and roll. They opened one in Belfast. I remember I walked in it and they were playing Britney Spears. And I thought, this isn't, you know. But the thing is, you go into the Hard Rocks all over the world. I've been Barcelona, Madrid, Copenhagen, Edinburgh. You know, you go in and you get that sort of, hi, welcome to the Hard, you know, that American sort of, you know, oh, we're so happy to see you and you're the customer and everything's brilliant. You walked into the one in Belfast, it was like, shake, what do you want? You know, so it wasn't fine dining. We were not fine dining. So anyway, this is blah, 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 do you want to drink? And Paddy says, yeah, I will have a bottle of still water at room temperature. Now I'm already, you got my head in my hands going, oh, Jesus Christ, Paddy, what are you at? Guy comes along, puts the water down, Paddy lifts it up. It's clearly been taken out of the fridge. Paddy turns around him and goes, here, mate, don't know what temperature the rooms in your house are. Do you live in a fucking igloo? Like, he's just some kid doing his job. You're like, Paddy, for fuck's sake. Like, this is a man who, we were in an Italian restaurant in Belfast, not gonna name it. And Paddy, of course, well, could I see the wine list? And again, you're like, mate, it's Belfast. This was about 15 years ago, before Belfast got notions of itself. You know, it's like, it's fucking, you're gonna order a pizza or spaghetti bolognese, mate. You know what I mean? Well, I'll see the wine list, please. So Paddy's looking through the wine list and he goes, oh, there's a mistake here. And I was sitting going, Paddy, just leave it. Just let it go. It's all right. Just order your wine, drink it, shut up. But no, he had to call the waiter over and he asked for the name, asked, could I speak to the guy who's in charge of the wine? Right, now use some big fancy word for the wine guy. Now, I don't know what the big fancy word is. Hang on, I'll see if I can. No, I can't Google and record at the same time in this thing. But he called this. Oh, hang on, I've got a tablet here. Yes, I do. What do you call the wine guy in a restaurant? Let's find out. Right, okay. Why is this not working? Where's, oh, here, what the? I've got a tablet with a pen, and what happens is you go to search things and it wants you to write instead of typing. And like, I do this for a living, I sell these things for a living, and as well as doing comedy because I'm, you know, multi-talented. But I don't know how it works. So here we go. What do you call wine person in restaurant? Restaurant. There we go. A sommelier. A sommelier makes. I'm probably saying that wrong. Sommelier. A sommelier. Sommelier, you can figure it out yourself, might sometimes be called a wine waiter or also wine steward. All right, so anyway, so Paddy asked for the sommelier, or whatever his name is, and yes, again, it's just some teenage kid in Belfast working on like minimum wage, just giving this idiot this dinner. And well, I mean, he looked at him as if to say, what are you talking, who? So he went off, you seen him going off, and he was speaking to the manager, and the manager went, oh, yep. And then this guy came over then, and Paddy pointed out to him that on the wine list, the grape that was in this wine, they had accredited it to the wrong region of wine country. And he, like, you're saying, Paddy, it doesn't matter if he says the wine's, you know, the grapes from the fucking Upper Shankill Road. It's just red wine in a restaurant in Belfast. So anyway, your man took note of this and off he went. We had our dinner. I'm sitting going, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, just one of them people you go out to dinner with and you just want the in Florida to open up and swallow you. So I had our dinner where we went to a pub, few beers, grand. Now, Paddy, he done the yo-yos with me, that's how I know him. When I stopped doing the yo-yos, he sort of stopped the same time as me. I came back after having traveled the world and lived in places like Barcelona and Madrid and you know, and Oslo and Copenhagen, I ended off in Tyrone, right? Paddy, he ended off living in Marbella and doing pretty much all right for himself, and now he lives in London. But Paddy was very well traveled. You know, I only see Paddy maybe once a year, which is mental because then when we get together, we try to make up for the fact we haven't seen each other for a year and drink a year's worth of Mungo. But It was a year or two later he came back, and he was over for the weekend, Belfast, and I thought we'd go back to that same Italian restaurant. I don't know why. I think subconsciously I wanted to see had they changed the wine menu. They fucking had. They put a sticker over the wine menu to say where the grape had come from. Hadn't reprinted in 2 years. Just thought, I'll print the sticker, it'll be all right. Sure. They probably thought, sure, man, I'll never be back. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's because you. And he went, yes, it is. And then he admitted that he had actually got it wrong. And the wine menu was now wrong, more wrong, because he fucking, oh, like, this is a guy. We were in a restaurant in the Ukraine together, right? The Ukraine in 1998, 99. Now, we were getting paid decent money, okay? We played Brewster's Millions 1 week where we picked up our wages and thought, right, and we're just going to spend it all. And the same rules applied. You weren't allowed to give money away. You weren't, no gambling. You're just living off it. Like, we went to a restaurant where the president of Ukraine would eat. We ordered, there was, they had this whiskey. It was Johnny Walker Light Blue something or, and I think it worked out about $60, $70 a measure in the Ukraine. And this was proper where the Ukrainian mafia and all would drink or eat and stuff. And we were ordering that. No, I mean, like, we were on stupid money. Like, I mean, back in the days when I had no kids, no wife and money. But basically what I'm saying is it was dirt cheap to live there. And one of the things we'd done actually was, I mean, a packet of fags in that country might have cost you, I don't know, about 20p, right? And what they did was, so say you had a packet of Marlboro Lights on you, right? They'd have promotional girls from the other cigarette companies go around the bar. So say, I don't know, the Lucky Strike girls, they were up. They would come over to you and go, what cigarettes have you? And you go, oh, I've got Marlboro Lights. And they would say, right, well, give us your packet of Marlboro Lights, whatever's left in that packet of Marlboro Lights, and we'll give you a full packet of Lucky Strikes. So say you had 15 Marlboro Lights left, you swap that for 20 Lucky Strikes. What we did was, right, this is how fucking, because you thought you were getting one over on people. It's just the North Belfast in me. I would always have a packet of Marlboro Lights, a box, a Marlboro Lights box in pocket with one cigarette in it. So that if the promotional girls came along, I was getting 19, I was getting 20 fags in exchange for one, when a packet of them cost 20p. There's someone arriving in my house. Who's that? Not answering, yeah, but they are. Oh, Mrs. McHugh's home. Wasn't expecting her home, and now I'm sitting here talking to myself. She's thinking I'm mental. We were in a restaurant in Ukraine, and I think it was a pizza place with a couple of pizzas or something, and so at it wasn't great, service wasn't spectacular, but sort of, I think the meal was going to cost us about £2. So they put like a 20% gratuity on it, which again was about 12p. And he would probably sitting there going, I'm not paying that. The service was useless. I'm Paddy, it's 12p. Started refusing to pay not the whole bill. He was quite happy to pay for what he'd eaten, but he wasn't paying this service charge. They said, we're going to ring the police if you don't pay this. And he was like, well, that's no problem. Ring the police. Now, we both spent time in sales in the Ukraine and were arrested several times, and he was willing to go into a Ukrainian prison cell for the sake of 12p because the service wasn't spectacular. He's one of them guys you just don't want to be out eating dinner with. So I'm going to see him on Friday night. It's gonna, I can't wait. I haven't seen him in ages. We're gonna have a few beers, bit of crack, but I've told him I am not getting out to dinner with you. Just get a Domino's to the house, or a McDonald's, or we're not going to a restaurant because I don't want to sit with my head in my hands going, oh Jesus Christ, someone take me away from him. So right, there'll be no dinner hut. Well, no, there'll be dinner hut and drinks hut, but we're not going to a restaurant for some date on Friday or Saturday night. Flying out on Friday, home on Sunday. So I'm going to have to find a Celtic-friendly bar in London. If anyone knows of one, let me know. Because we're playing Hearts. And so I think I've mentioned Celtic, I think, in every single one of these, in every episode of this.
I think part of me is thinking, oh, if I mention Celtic every week, I might get a wee press pass, and then I can go and ask Ange Postecoglou a question, or just tell him he's the best person in the world ever. He's the Celtic manager. He came in from Australia. My Australian mate, Donny McGinley, who's a very good comedian. Check him out. I got in touch with him and I heard his name. I went, what's this guy like? And he went, Terry, it's going to be amazing. Most Celtic supporters have never heard of the guy. I'm like, no, this is a disgrace. No. So I'm sort of sitting now. We're in the cusp of winning the league. And I was like, yeah, I'm all in on this. So there's a wee bit of a told you so about it. But oh, he's brilliant. I love him. He's just amazing. But anyway, so Celtic played on Sunday. We were playing the Old Firm, or Rangers, as the supporters call them, Old Firm FC. And it was one each. Celtic could have won it in the first half. Rangers could have won it in the second half. So you know what? The draw seemed fair enough. And that kept us 6 points clear of them. There's only three matches left, which means there's only 9 points to play for. We have a much better goal difference. So barring an absolute collapse of biblical proportions, we should win the league. So we're playing Hearts on Saturday, and if we win, we are 6 points clear at least, with two games to go and a much better goal difference. So if we win on Saturday, it's not mathematically impossible, but I think I could finally relax and go, do you know what? It's done, and celebrate. I'll be out on Saturday night celebrating Celtic winning the league in London, and oh, it could just be perfect. It could be the perfect weekend. So I have to find a Celtic friendly pub. But I watched the game on Sunday. You know, when it's a draw, you're like, you know, and then when you get thought about it after, it's like, here, we're still 6 points clear and winning the league. And oh, and at a gig on Friday night as well, which was interesting to say the least. It was like a private affair in the Lansdowne in Belfast. And, North Belfast, which was my own stomping ground. I mean, I used to drink up at Cave Hill, Lansdowne, sort of the when you bottom of Cave Hill. And when I was a kid, I used to drink up the Cave Hill, and I'd be sitting on the Cave Hill wishing I was old enough to go drink in the Lansdowne. And then on Friday night, I was sitting in the Lansdowne with a pint, wishing that I was young enough to go drinking up the Cave Hill. It was a weird thing. Like, I was told to be sort of hang about outside the function room they were in by about 9:30. And I went down, and they were doing like a quiz, a table quiz. And I'm telling you, people weren't even listening to the guy doing the quiz questions. They were just madness. You know what I mean? Just North Belfast on tour, basically. It was cross community group. There was ones from the Shank, other ones from New Lodge, ones from, you know, basically a whole cross community thing. And it was a thing where people had gone, when they were kids, had gone, they brought them to America and stuff and all the rest, building bridges and all that. Very, 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 very good organization, and the all proceeds for the night, so all ticket sales, all everything, and you know, there was various raffles and draws and whatnot. All money was going to the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice, which I thought brilliant. So they got in touch with me to do it. I said, I'll do that, not taking a fee, just get the hotel to give me a room for the night. Be nice to be back up in North Belfast. It was the most bizarre thing. The guy who was organizing it, he got up. So the quiz was over. Guy was organizing it. He gets up on stage to say a few things, thank people, mention a few people who'd helped sort the whole thing out and all the rest. And then he says, now we've got a wee bit of comedy. Now the room's not even listening to him, and he's like the hero of the hour, you know. He says, now we've got some comedy. Terry McHugh, up you come. So I went up on the stage to the noise of just a room full of people talking, and you know, North Belfast wee girls. Nang, 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 nang. You know, I mean, it was chaos, you know what I mean? But it wasn't chaos. It was just a room of people who hadn't seen each other in years having a great night, right? And they didn't need a comedian. So I gets up, lifts the mic. One of the guys who was organizing as well, he goes, hold on, Terry, get off for a minute. I've something else to do. So he jumped up, and I had to walk off and stand at the side like a fucking spare prick. And he'd done some presentation to the man of the hour. Well, he wasn't the man of the hour. The whole night was for everybody, but he was the guy that, you know, had organized most of it. And then he went, all right, Terry, you can do your thing now. So we got back on stage again, just a buzz of a room of people just having a great night, not needing me. So, like, what do? You can't turn up this private do and tell people who haven't seen each other in 15, 20, up to 30 years to shut the fuck up and listen to you. So you sort of start, you could see the tables who were sort of listening, the people who were listening. So you're kind of playing to them. And then a car got up and went, "Would you all shut the fuck up and listen to him?" So I brought her on stage for a laugh so she could tell him to shut the fuck up down the mic, just for my own entertainment. You know, that's what it became. It became me entertaining myself. So she did that, and that didn't work. So I just carried on, just playing to the people who were listening with this sort of noise, you know, over the top of me. And then someone else got up and someone else walked up, took a mic, and went, "Give a bit of fucking respect." And I'm like, "No, it's all right, you know, because again, it's not, this isn't about me, right? I'm here giving something back. Some people are listening, they'll remember me, they're laughing, it's all right." Done 15 minutes and just got out of there. Went, stood up, standing stage, going, "Jesus Christ." People came in and went, "Mate, that was brilliant. It's just a pity everyone wasn't listening and all." And as I said to them, wasn't about me, didn't bother me in the slightest. I was not one bit bothered with the fact, you know, whereas a couple of years ago, you know, pre-pandemic, maybe 3 years ago, that would have ended me. I'd have been like, "Oh, I'm shit comedian. What am I going to do? Blah, oh no." You know what I mean? But it was just like, some people laughed, a lot of people didn't listen. It's all right, nothing to worry about. And then went and had a couple of pints, went to bed, had a glass of wine in bed, like a big girl, and got up the next morning and went to work. But was driving up home, just thinking about it. There was me doing my bit, nobody listening. I thought to myself, I now know what a jukebox feels like. It was bizarre. But lovely. Like I say, a couple of pints, spoke to some people who were at the door. Everyone was lovely. Everyone was brilliant. And I got a night in the lounge, down out of it, a few pints, night away. It was nice. And I have no gigs now until the end of May, I think 28th of May. 20th and 28th of May. One's a gig in a comedy club. I haven't done a comedy club gig in a long time. It's near a year. There was a wee gap during lockdown. I done one. It's been a year since I last done a comedy club gig. Done plenty of theatre gigs, but comedy club gigs, a different sort of carry on. And what else has been going on? Oh, my shoes arrived. So if you didn't listen last week, I don't know what happened. I just took a notion, right? I'm gonna get fit. I'm gonna start looking after myself. I'm gonna start running. And me running. Only ever ran when I was being chased for sick. So I bought these shoes. They've arrived, right? So with them, I've got my men's leggings, or skinny tracksuit bottoms, as their cool kids call them. I've got them. I'm going to do this couch to 5K thing, which apparently involves you run for 30 seconds, you walk for 60 seconds, you run for 30 seconds, you walk for 60 seconds. And in about 9 weeks, apparently I'll be able to run 5,000 meters, which I'm told is 4 miles. Don't know. But do you know what's going to happen? I'll do it for a week or two, like most things I do. Do it for a week or two, and then the notion's going to wear off. So it is. But that's really everything that I... I've nothing else going on. You know what I mean? If I keep talking, I'll just be talking for the sake of it, I think. So, if you've listened this far, thank you very, 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 very much for listening. Like it, subscribe it, review it, tell your mates about it. And I will talk to you again next week. I'm away to London. I shall see you in a while.